This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Stars fans, welcome back to A Galaxy Far, Far Away. I'm your host, Ezra, the Flannel Space Wizard, your Y-Wing enthusiast, call sign Gold Leader, and we are back with our Rebels rewatch. Today, we're discussing Season 2, Episode 2, Siege of Lothal. But before we dive into the episode, let's check in with my trusty Padawan learner, the Princess of Bright Tree Village, my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie.
Hiya, schön, dass ihr da seid. Thanks for joining us on our Rebels rewatch today. How are you, sweetie?
Aw, I am good. You know, I'm just doing wonderful. Because I'm sitting here and I'm talking about Star Wars. Okay?
I know, you
that
love
makes
it so
me
much.
Happy.
I know.
It's so great. And it's honestly so great to share it with you and to share it with like my friends on the podcast, our listeners, you know, people who watch over on YouTube. Seriously, I mean, I'm actually wearing, I don't know if you know this, I'm wearing a Cassian Andor jacket. This is a Rogue One jacket that I got at Celebration. And sometimes I wear it just because it puts me in the Star Wars feel, okay? And I just enjoy it. I got my books around me. I like to walk past my books and just look at Star Wars books and say, okay. This morning, I was reading Jedi Search. I was reading a Legends book, and I was all of this stuff about like Luke finding his first candidates, right? The people that are going to come to work in his temple, who are going to learn from him. It's just great. So, like, it's nice. Like, I've sort of thrust Lottie into all of this with the you know Rebels rewatch and it really just I kind of just need someone to talk to about Star Wars, and then also, you know, I want you to experience it, and it's your first time watching all of this stuff and experience it. So I'm actually really proud of you. Every time that you make a connection, you're like, oh yeah, that's in episode 4, or like anytime you're like, that's that one guy, or whatever, and you like nail it and you get the line right. You don't have to know. There's so many names, mm-hmm. There's so many factions and groups and things to keep track of that I'm actually quite impressed at how well you've done, because you've only seen episodes 1, 2, and 3 once. Yeah. You've only seen Rogue One once, just recently.
Yeah.
You saw Solo like last week.
Yeah.
Episodes 4, 5, and 6 once. We even didn't actually finished episode 6. Like, we still got to wrap up the last like 20 minutes of that.
I know.
You know, so it's been for me really good, and I've wanted to do this because, I mean, I'm going to have it on. Like, it's just all. It's something that I just do naturally turn on. The other night, I was watching the Old Republic video game. I was just watching some gameplay footage of it just to kind of refresh my mind on the old story of the hero of Tython and so on. So, it's great. And I just want to say thank you for doing this with me.
Aww. Thanks for saying that, sweetie. Yeah, I know you love it so much and you're so passionate about it. That's why sometimes I get nervous that... I don't know, I don't contribute as much, but like you said, you are the expert on it, and I ask the questions, so it's all good. I'm the Padawan.
Yeah, you are. And that's a cool thing. So, like, I really just need you to ask questions or just share one or two thoughts, and it can be one or two liners. And, like, People can probably tell. I mean, by the way, just in case you're someone who listens and you're like, God, Ez, you just, could you let Lottie talk a little bit more about this stuff or whatever? She is more, she's like shaking her head. She's also more, because we talk about this. It's like, yeah. I really needed someone to just run through this with me on a daily basis, just to like, because I wanted to do it. We normally like eat our salads together and watch this stuff. Our dinner. I say salads because we eat a lot of salad for dinner.
Mostly, yeah.
Today we had wraps. We had taco wraps. It was great. But it's just so nice to kind of do that. And I think even, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like by talking about this stuff, does it help it sink in a little bit more?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And like remember the names, because yes. It's one thing to sit there and just hear the characters' names. Then when you have to get up and articulate your thoughts about Zeb, Kanan, Ezra, Sabine, Hera, let's see, Commander Santo. In this or whatever, you've got all these Minister Tua, right? I mean, that's someone who I actually, unless I'm watching the series, I don't really remember Minister Tua, and you can tell why she's gone. All right,
yeah.
Pour one out for her. Sorry,
because I remember I asked you about her.
Yeah, early in season one,
the first time she shows up, right?
Yep, and I was like,
you're like,
I don't really remember.
Now I know why.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So some of these people are kind of important for a while, and then you know. Like, once you've seen their arc, you sort of almost dismiss it. You're like, mm-hmm. Okay, that's somebody I don't really need to keep, you know, headspace for. Right. Okay? And I've got a big head with plenty of room. You were gonna...
I mean, with 5 podcasts and projects.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Being a teacher.
You do, yeah. You guys would be... It is so crazy to me. That's why I reread and I rewatch stuff, is that you have to. I want to go back and keep it fresh and keep finding stuff. So I've kind of picked my fandoms and really, you know, stuck with them. But Star Wars is... It's my heart. I like live, breathe. I don't know. Like, it's Star Wars is my life. I mean, it's my lifeblood. It's in my core. Okay, I am a Jedi, right? Like my father and my mother before me. Okay, the Force is strong in my family, right? And you, sweetie, have that power too. It's just great. You know, I think anytime like Ezra. It was funny in that last episode, you know, he tries to do the Jedi mind trick. It doesn't work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you, and Kanan also doesn't have all the answers. So, like, you are experiencing this for the first time, and you're trying to figure it out. And then also, like, when you ask me questions, I don't always have the answer. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to know every single fact in Star Wars. But it's cool to kind of go and explore. And I told Matt about this. You know, Hyperspace Hangout is really a place where I think it's a safe place for you to come and ask questions. Send a crazy transmission that maybe, I don't know, that doesn't work, but I'm going to try to make it work. I'm going to try to spin it out a little bit or whatever, or gently give some correcting information if there's some, you know, because sometimes people just forget stuff. You forget that this character died or this happened here or that happened there or whatever. It's a lot to remember. But I've always felt like that's the spirit of the podcast. It's a place to learn, have fun, and really hype Star Wars, okay? It's Hyperspace Hangout. Because I just get so hyped. I love it so much, and it's just so cool. So, anyway, just wanted to have a little chit-chat about that before we get into the episode. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's dive into the summary here. This is going to be episode 2. The Siege of Lothal. So, the Ghost Crew tries to flee but are cornered by Vader, who actually injures Kanan and Sabine and almost kills Ezra before they escape. After being smuggled off-world by Lando Calrissian to escape the Empire, the demoralized crew meet up with Ahsoka's rebel cell, but Vader pursues them and proceeds to wipe out most of the rebel ships, discovering Ahsoka's presence during a mental encounter via the Force. Ahsoka's mind is temporarily overwhelmed in the process. She later joins the Ghost Crew as they vow to join the wider fight against the Empire. Darth Vader later reports Ahsoka's existence to Emperor Palpatine, who issues Vader new orders to dispatch another one of their Inquisitors to capture the crew of the Ghost. Okay. So, yeah, this is cool. The fight. What did you think of the fight? Did you think it was cool? Did you think... So, Vader is fighting Kanan. Mm-hmm. He's fighting Ezra. I was so nervous. When Ezra jumps in, you're like, whoa, Ezra, like, I wouldn't get anywhere near
Vader. I know.
Vader,
so, right? I was... worried because obviously they are no match for Vader, right? But then I thought about Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
If you are familiar with Dragon Ball Z and you know who Gohan is.
Okay.
So when Gohan is a small kid, he's Goku's son, Goku's first son, right?
Uh-huh.
And when he's a little kid, he's different than the other fighters, whatever. He doesn't enjoy fighting as much, I would say. He's a little wimp. He just cries a lot. He just wants to go, you know, back to his mommy, and he doesn't like all this stuff. But because they're attacked and he needs to help his father and they want to train him. And he has these moments when he is not fully trained at all yet. He has no clue what he's doing. But he has this power. He is, I don't know. People
would
argue. Does
he go off? Does he like?
You just get a glimpse of it where his power is just unleashed by something, maybe because it's rage or someone else gets hurt and he wants to protect them, right?
His father.
Yes.
Okay.
Things like that. And that's why I think people would argue about this, but he is proud.
Uh-oh, careful.
He's competing with his father, but if he had his father's spirit of always getting better at fighting, he would be the best.
He'd have that, so his power.
He would be. So that's what
controversy here on the show.
Sorry, this is just on a side note. I thought you know, maybe Ezra is this powerful character. I know he's probably not as powerful as Luke and all those people, but
you just opened another can of worms.
But I was just waiting for his secret powers to come out and the stuff he normally can't control, but now he has this. Sith Lord fighting him. I mean, not any Sith Lord, but Vader.
Yeah. Well, okay, you bring up a real, and see, this is where, come on now. Like, that was awesome. To make a Dragon Ball connection, I did not expect that to come into this show. But Ezra does, so probably a lot like Gohan, like when someone who's close to you is attacked and they're kind of knocked out or whatever, you would If I was a young kid, my parents were attacked, and I adrenaline rush, something hits you, and you just go, and you have to, you know, scratch, scrape, bite, whatever it is you have to do, just do that, right? So survival mode kind of kicks in, and that's what happens to Ezra. So he's there fighting, but he's also overwhelmed by this cold feeling, this anger, this hate, this presence that Vader puts off, and it's crazy. And I saw you wrote here, they barely escape Vader,
right?
It's wild.
It shocked me when, Ezra says, "Hey, who's that?" He asks.
Who is
Kanan,
that guy?
Right?
And
he doesn't even know Vader yet. That's crazy.
That is a good point. And you stopped for a second because you're like, okay, wait, I know Vader, but they don't, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. It's true that he's not like a well-known individual.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a talk that like Anakin Skywalker is, because this is going to come up later with Ahsoka, is dead.
Right.
In the eyes of the Empire and in the Rebellion, Anakin Skywalker's gone.
Mm.
So we have to kind of remember that, because we know something that the characters don't know. And that's that dramatic irony that's kind of building. We're sort of like, okay, hold on a second. Do they know who they're fighting? Do we realize, you know, do they get it? And Kanan says he's a Sith Lord. He does know that.
Yes. So not even the Empire people know that Anakin is Lord Vader.
No.
Oh, okay.
Right. No, the only person who knows is Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
Palpatine and maybe a couple medical droids or whatever.
probably.
We'll put them together. It's like, do we know this guy? This looks like a Jedi. Is it Anakin? Dead. Palpatine kills him. Because that's his secret apprentice.
Yeah.
And the story is, that he's sent out. And like that, what's really cool about this time period, the gap between 3 and 4, is the Vader comic. And there's actually a lot of comic books about Vader going out, and people are like, who is this? And at first you're like, whatever. They don't really know that he speaks for or acts on behalf of Emperor Palpatine. It's just like, what, he's some enforcer? So what? Mm. No. And then he has to like build his reputation to the point where when you're in episode 4, everyone in the galaxy, you start to know Lord Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get it. You understand who Vader is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's these events between 3 and 4 where his story grows. And people keep hearing rumors about this, you know, this helmeted, cloaked individual who has a red lightsaber, a blade, and who, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. And Kanan senses that's a Sith.
Yeah.
That is a Sith Lord. Yeah. It's huge. It's huge. So that's pretty crazy, right? All right, let's see here. You have a couple other interesting notes. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, I thought it was insane that really Vader does not... I mean, for someone... If you've seen Vader, what he does in the other films and whatever, you know, he's cruel, but...
Right, right.
He doesn't care at all about the people in Lothar. He just... He just orders to burn down whole cities.
The ships, too. He was going to... He wanted any ship...
Oh, yeah.
...shot out of the sky.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't matter.
Yep.
So, and you're like, well, what about transports? What about whatever? It's like, no, doesn't matter.
And I thought if the Death Star was already ready, he would probably just blow Lothal up.
Yeah. Yeah, just to kind of kill him. You know, and then here's the interesting thing. So, that is, like, whenever information is found out about the Jedi or Force Sensitives, there's almost like a full stop by Vader and Palpatine. It's like, okay, now let's catch them alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, they do this whole thing where it's like, it's not just about destroying them. They want to catch them, get information, and acquire more. It's that greed to gain more information, more intelligence. Like, through this person, I can actually get all of these people that keep them sometimes from doing that very thing. Just wiping out a whole group or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You have here that, let's see, if the Death... Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. If the Death Star were there, we'd probably just blow up Lothal.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. And I thought this... how much we learn about Vader, and he doesn't care about people at all anymore. We talked about this, like, Anakin is he is really kind of dead. He's gone.
Yes.
Right? He's gone and replaced by Lord Vader, who's merciless, and it makes it even less believable, like, later on that Luke sees something
good in him. Yeah. How does Luke see the good in Vader? With all the things that he's done. That's a huge conversation in Star Wars. Like, that's one of the things that troubles people about the sequels, is that, like, Vader blew up a planet.
Yeah.
You know, he did all these awful things that were actually done. He had seen these things. He had fought Vader, and he still believed that there was good in him. But yet Kylo Ren, or Ben Solo, hasn't done a thing. And he draws his lightsaber on his nephew. It just, that's where people have sort of an issue with that one thing. It's just a continuity thing that they're like, I don't know if that really makes sense. I try to forget it, and I try to just move on and say, whatever. It's a mistake. It's a misstep. It's whatever. So, but you're right, though. It is interesting because Vader is so bad in this. There's a moment where people always wonder, like, could someone else have redeemed Vader before Luke or you know, where is that good that he finds in him or whatever? Really, he's actively trying to, like he has a death of Anakin Skywalker. He is no more. He even refers to Anakin Skywalker as,
I know, I wrote that down when they talk, when he talks later to Palpatine, they talk about Anakin Skywalker like a third person.
He's dead.
Conversation. Yeah.
He is dead. And that's what Obi-Wan says about, Luke. He actually says, like, the man who was once your father, like, ceased to be. He is no longer. He died.
Yeah.
And the man that we see now is more machine. Mm-hmm. And he's dark. Mm-hmm. He's an evil man. He's not Anakin Skywalker. He's not my friend that I used to know.
Yeah.
So Obi-Wan has that talk with Luke later. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So, let's see. Let me go back here, and then you just jump in wherever. So in this episode, the fight was sick between those two. And they get out alive. There is the burning of Tarkin Town, which shows you, it goes to your point that, like, Vader was so awful. I mean, he's just like, we're just going to burn that. And he's using the emotions of Ezra and Kanan and the rebels and hoping that's going to draw them out.
Yeah.
He knows them. He knows that compassion is that trail that he can kind of follow.
It's their weakness in his eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, cool. We had Lando back in this episode, right? We get Lando showing up, and I thought that was kind of funny. And we use his transponders, and this was an interesting thing. That transponder is something that aircraft are using to broadcast their signal, so we can identify who they are in the air or whatever. And they drop a bunch of these transponders out and try to fool the TIE fighters, get past them or whatever. And we're thinking, okay, good job, right?
Mm-hmm.
They made it, but.
Nope.
No, Vader's like predicted that as well. So it's always like, how far out has he predicted? Because you think they best him, you think they got him here, you think they beat him here, but he has layers upon layers. You know, he's scheming as well.
Right. I almost thought, like, he said, okay, let's burn down this city. It probably means a lot to to the rebels. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really know them personally, but he just knows how they are, right?
Right.
And he would remember the conversation between Ezra and Kanan, that they decided, do we go back?
Oh, yeah.
To the rebel fleet, to the rest of the Phoenix Squadron, right?
Uh-huh, yes.
And Ezra, probably based on what he saw in Lothal, that they're burning down cities, he's like, we need to join them to...
Exactly.
Be able to fight them.
To fight them, yeah, because they decide, like, okay, is it worth, like, can we, to protect the citizens of Lothal and to make a bigger impact, like, are we good enough on our own?
Yeah.
You know? Or do we need to join up? Can we do more good if we are with a bigger cell, a bigger group, a bigger mm-hmm. unit, and strengthen ourselves? Ezra says that at the end of this episode. Like, that's sort of why they all kind of decide to team up and join with this group. So... yeah, it's wild. Mm-hmm. One to mention, too, in this episode, the A-Wings. So I always say that I'm a Y-Wing enthusiast.
Yeah.
I love Y-Wings, and I would totally be like, you know, I would fly a Y-Wing. I think they're cool. But in this episode, the other little ships that you saw, the fighters that come out mm-hmm. from the Rebel group that try to attack Vader, Vader gets in his own ship, right?
Yes.
And is he's one ship. This looks
more like a TIE fighter type
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, his is, but it's like got rounded wings, yeah. right? Yeah. So, yeah, his ship is awesome. Mm-hmm. And he's basically taking these rebels out just, you know, piece by piece. Mm-hmm. He's just like ship by ship, just boom, taking out the command ship. They send out their group, the Phoenix Squadron, and they are getting pummeled. Like, they're getting absolutely destroyed. So, but I wanted to mention they're in A-Wings.
Yeah,
so they're kind of shaped like an A.
Yeah.
It's really mm-hmm. what they are. I think if you go to around, minute 15... minute 15-ish, I think, or even just before 14 or whatever. Yeah. Actually, yeah, like 13 to 14 is where they're out there fighting Vader. And then Hera says, it's time to get involved. Like, yes. She's got to get involved. The whole crew kind of team up. Ahsoka's like, can I tag along? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then this is when Ezra senses it. Like, they at first mm-hmm. don't know who that is out there. It's just real good skill. Vader's just doing his thing. And then Ezra's like, I feel cold. Mm-hmm. I can feel it again. Interesting, too, have you noticed this, that Ezra seems to kind of feel those things before Kanan?
True, yeah, he says it every time. He says it before Kanan.
He has a bad feeling about this, or he has whatever. So typically, that does that mean he has a stronger force potential? What does it mean? They have different skill sets,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to learn more about Ezra's, you know, specific skills with the force and what he can do. So that sounded like you totally farted.
No, that was my chair. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Okay, go ahead and blame it on the cockpit chair. Jeez, <yeah. laughs> Oh, that's funny. But no, yeah, so then Ahsoka, like, what can Ahsoka and Kanan do? They're sitting there, right? They're just riding shotgun, actually, mm-hmm. Co-piloting. And she's like, you know, remember your training. He touches her shoulder. They reach out. The fear, the anger, yeah. the hate, all of those things. And Vader says, the apprentice lives. Mm-hmm. And when he says that, it's like he's made the connection with Ahsoka's mind. She screams, falls backwards. Kanan catches her, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So he pulls off the attack for, actually, they're pursuing him, and then he's going to flip around and actually continue the pursuit. And they're like, okay, time for Santo or Sato? Sato.
Yeah, I think it's Sato.
Sato?
Like Japanese.
Yeah, Commander Sato.
Yeah.
To abandon ship. He's got to get out of there because his hyperdrive is down and everything. So they got to abandon ship.
Yeah.
Then Hera does some cool flying maneuvers, and she's able to kind of like outrun Vader, flip everything. The rear deflector shields are on, and then she jumps to light speed.
Yes.
Which is cool to get him out of there. So.
So.
Yeah.
Ahsoka, she is force sensitive, right? So she can feel it too, just like Ezra and Kanan, right?
Yes.
And I asked you, why doesn't she recognize Vader on his ship right away when the Phoenix Squadron tries to fight him?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things, even too, when she senses him here at the end, they ask her, who was that? Do you know who that was or whatever? And she was like, or what is it that you're sensing or feeling? And she's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But there is something that has unsettled her.
Yes.
It's like, it's almost like if you sensed that someone that you know is still alive, but you really believe them to be dead,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're like, that can't be. I know they're dead, and they've been dead for years. And in my mind, they've been dead. But she senses a presence, just like in episode 4, Darth Vader says, I sense a presence I've not felt since... And then he stops. He doesn't say when, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's the same type of feeling that Kanan had when they went to go rescue that other... What was her name? The other Jedi Master.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was like, yeah. It's different. He can sense her presence, but it's different. Yeah, Luminara. Yes. Yep. And it's because... You know, Anakin is there, but also dead, kind of.
Yeah, so that's interesting. They're using her body, right? Mm-hmm. Which is sort of like, okay, I can kind of, mm-hmm. yeah.
There's
yeah.
there is still
they're manipulating
probably
it.
A part of, you know.
Right, in essence or whatever, something
Anakin
attached.
There, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, Vader is, Anakin is, air quote, dead, yeah. right? Well, really, that's Anakin. He's just shifted sides. He's on the dark side. So she's never known her master mm-hmm. on the dark side. She's never mm-hmm. sensed him or felt him in that state, right. you know? And so really, he has defeated any personality or whatever, like essence that
His
was
energy
Anakin.
Energy shifted, yeah.
Yeah, it shifted, and she's never sensed that. But mm-hmm. yet it is slightly familiar, mm-hmm. and it conjures up, like this feeling of Anakin, but that can't be.
Yeah.
Not my master, right? Yeah. That would be awful. Yeah. Because when she trained under him, he was like one of the best Jedi mm-hmm. in the order. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like the best.
Yeah. So she kind of goes in denial.
Yes.
But also she knows what that would mean if Anakin was really Lord Vader, how powerful he is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, so they ask if she's okay. She's like, I am okay, thank you. I wanted to ask you about the Sith Lord you encountered on Lothal. You know, he's like, we've encountered Inquisitors, but nothing like this. The fear, the anger, the hate, Kanan's kind of describing it.
Mm-hmm.
You felt it. I've sensed a presence like this once before. And then she says, in the Clone Wars. So it's like, okay. She's like, do you know who that was or whatever? And no, I don't. She does not know. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Now here, cool point at the end of this, you have Vader clear the bridge and he speaks to Emperor Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is epic. He's reporting in. They call it a victory, right? As he dealt with the rebels in the Lothal system. And yes, Master, he says that he has dealt with them. They are broken, is what he says. And yet I sense in you something more to your victory. So Palpatine can kind of feel that, right? I believe the apprentice of Anakin Skywalker lives, and is in league with these rebels. He senses it.
Yes.
Are you certain? Palpatine wants to know, are you certain about this? And he says, it was her, right? This is an opportunity we can't let pass. This is Palpatine speaking to Vader. Skywalker's apprentice could lead us to other lost Jedi. Other lost Jedi. And Vader says, such as Kenobi. Palpatine says, perhaps, if he lives, be patient, my old friend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Vader thinks Kenobi's still out there, which makes me think that in this upcoming Kenobi series, he's going to encounter him, and it's going to be unclear as to whether Obi-Wan is dead or is he alive. Because
mm-hmm.
Palpatine says, you know, perhaps. In this Rebels episode, mm-hmm. he says, perhaps he's still alive.
Yeah.
So it's crazy, like, Vader is still bent on Kenobi. Rebels happens after that Kenobi series. So the encounter that happens there, which we're going to watch here in a couple weeks, it's going to be awesome. Like, he is now prepared, and he's now sensing Ahsoka. Could that lead him to Kenobi?
Yeah.
It's wild that he's still bent on that, and it just makes you think about the impact of the Kenobi series and, mm-hmm. and the, you know, the connections we're going to have. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I bet that's really cool for you to rewatch this, and now with the series coming up, there's this connection.
To find those connections, right? To think about mm-hmm. like what every line Vader says about Kenobi matters, right? So it's what he says in Episode 4 to Tarkin, what he says here in Rebels. All of those things would tie back into the Kenobi series. As they write the Kenobi series, they had better mm-hmm. have gone and looked up all of these lines about Vader and Kenobi and whether or not he believed or sensed that he was alive or dead or whatever. Because if he has an encounter in the Kenobi series, if Vader does meet Obi-Wan and they fight, and I mean, he's going to know whether or not he's dead or alive. So the fact that he's uncertain about that means the outcome of that fight is going to be interesting to see. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like did Obi-Wan win? Why does Palpatine believe that maybe he's dead and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, he didn't seem too enthusiastic about the idea. He's like, maybe.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe he's alive. Who knows? It's like Kenobi doesn't matter or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, just a cool episode and a great way to kind of start season two, the Siege of Lothal. So yeah, there's something more to Lothal. Vader is there. We're now dispatching two other Inquisitors, though. Not just one, but two to come track down these rebels. So something to pay attention to. So, oh, goodness. All right, friends. Well, hey, thanks again. This is what, you know, we're jump-starting our kind of rewatch here with episodes one and two, and we'll kind of keep plowing along throughout the week and just keep getting there and keep getting hyped for Kenobi. I mean, this is a lot of fun. So, all right, friends. Don't forget to follow us at Hyperspace Hangout. You can follow Lottie at Charlotte Sue. You can follow us at Fleur and Bill, Shell Cottage Radio. You can check that out as well. All of our links are down below. And please like, please subscribe. And as always, friends, remember, may the Force be with you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.